Welcome you back. We'll be in Psalms chapter 1 today. I have to get used to this new setup here too, so. All right. Psalms chapter 1. How many enjoy reading through the Psalms? All right. Yeah. I used to, one of my Bible reading plans that I have done is reading a psalm a day, a proverb a day, Old Testament chapter, and then a New Testament chapter. So, and if you do that, you'll read through the Proverbs every month, won't you? Because there's 31. And so you'll read through them every month. Psalms, it'll take you a little bit longer. There's 150 of them. Now, Psalms 119, that can sometimes take a couple of days, so. But Psalms chapter 1 is called the preface psalm. In other words, it is kind of like your introduction to all of the psalms. It lays the groundwork and is kind of the broad guiding principle for the whole book of Psalms. It sets the tone. And it's the psalmist's desire to teach us the way of blessedness and to warn us of the way that leads to destruction. So now, when we talk about this, it really is linked to what we were talking about, God's unfailing, his steadfast love, and his covenant love for us. All right? And that if we are walking with God, we're under his blessing. But if we are not walking with God, God's not able to invoke his blessing upon us. Okay? Now, how many have ever been lost? Going into the city and you get lost, turned out, anybody? Okay. You shouldn't get lost in Crete, right? The men are kind of going, I've never been lost. But yeah, we get lost every once in a while. And we can get lost in our spiritual journey too. And Psalms 1, it wants to give us a little bit of a roadmap of how we can live in a way that will lead to happiness and success in our life. And live under, most importantly, God's blessing. Now, if you, let's read this together, and then we're going to talk a little more about this. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prosper. Not so with the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." Father, we ask the blessing over your word this morning. I pray you to take it and apply it to our hearts and our lives. In your name we ask, amen. Now, if you were looking at that passage, what is a word that kind of stands out to you that's repeated several times? Wicked. What's another word? Righteous. Another word? Blessing. That's used quite a few times. There's another word that's used three times. Begins with the W. Way. Who said way? Denise. Way. Now, if you were to take your Strong Concordance, okay, Wednesday night class, if you take your Strong's Concordance and look that up, in the Old Testament, that the Hebrew word would be derek. D-E-R-E-K. Derek. Okay? It means way. Now, this is what it means, and it's used much in the same way that we use way. Literally means path, way, journey, road, or manner, or habit. Now, you may think manner, habit, how do you get that out of road or path? But we use that all the time, right? We're saying, boy, that person is headed down the wrong path, right? Okay, they're not talking about a literal road or path. They're talking about they're headed in the wrong direction in life. They're making choices that are leading them down a path that's going to lead to bad outcomes. Okay? So we use that in the similar. There's a really good from the Hebrew into English. It's not a far jump for us to understand that. It means way. That's a very good translation, and it means kind of that, not so much a literal path, but the way that we choose, the choices in life, the direction we are headed in life, okay? And so I've entitled the message this morning, the Way That God Blesses. In other words, the path or the lifestyle that invokes the blessing of God upon our life. And so I want us just to look through this. It kind of breaks down kind of nicely. And this isn't the first time I've shared this with our congregation, but I love to share this at the first time, kind of at the beginning as we start a new year, because it's a good reminder as we close out one year and go into the next year. It's a good reminder of perspective, okay? And we reflect a lot this time of year, don't we? We reflect, and as we reflect about this past year and as we go into new year, I think it's good for us to say, okay, how do we want to begin a new year? And I think this is where we begin, all right? So he begins, first of all, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way, there's that word, of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So the first principle you see that I believe is in your program, I think I maybe left a couple points out of there that you're going to have to write in. I did. So you're going to have to write a couple last ones in there. So Chris will have them up there for you, but you're going to have to write them in. So the first one is that is the way of the righteous. That's what verse 1 talks about. It talks about the way of the righteous. Now, they don't do three things, right? So, the first of all, he says, the way of the righteous is blessed. What does that mean to be blessed? We talked about the blessings of God. What does it mean to be blessed? Favor? What else? You got $1 million in the bank, it just kind of rains. You go to the tree and there's just money there. I mean, blessed? Huh? I'd be happy. You'd be happy. It does mean happiness, blessed does. It means a state of happiness. Blessed is to be truly happy or in a state of blessedness. Sometimes we would maybe think it could be lucky or fortunate, but the scriptures tie this happiness or blessedness, it's tied to a right relationship with God. And as we are living in a right relationship with God, there's a blessedness, there's a favor, there's a happiness that comes as we are living in a right relationship with God. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that you're going to wake up in the morning on a cold winter day and you go to the car and go, and goes, or it just goes, you ever had that happen, right? You know it's really bad then, right? It doesn't mean that that's not going to happen. What it does mean is that, you know what, even in the midst of that, maybe you can still have something to rejoice about, and then you can still say, you know what, at least I'm saved today, and God, maybe God will send a neighbor by that has the jumper cables and can give you a jump, and you'll be off and on your way. It means that God is going to be with you, and it really ties in well with the New Testament thought of joy, that joy isn't happiness, it can be, but happiness is more based upon happenings in our life, okay? You know, when we have events where things happen in our life, ooh, we're happy, okay? But joy is more that constant stream in our life that whether we are, as Paul was in prison, he was still rejoicing in the Lord, okay? There's that stream that comes from a right relationship with God. So it says, the psalm begins with, blessed is the man who does three things. So he's in a state of blessedness, of happiness, that comes from a right relationship with God. Now, he or she does not do three things. First of all, they do not walk in the counsel of the wicked. They don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. It pertains to thinking. All right? There's a progression here that we want to catch. First of all, walk in the counsel of the wicked pertains to thinking. A blessed person does not listen to or absorb the counsel or the advice of the world. And as Christians, we're bombarded by advice or philosophies that collide with what Scripture has to say. Where does it come from? Where do those voices or those philosophies or thoughts come from? Give me some ideas. Come on. Where? Satan? Where else? Social media. Oh, there we go. Now we're getting hot, I think, right? Yeah, where else? Can come from parents. Yeah. Our flesh. Yeah. Peers. Yeah. We listen to what our peers have to say. You know, so-and-so said this, and therefore it's right. Well, we, the media, you know, sometimes good things can be communicated through the media. It is neutral, okay? Whether it's TV, radio, it is neutral. It's a neutral, what I mean by it is neutral. It is a neutral vehicle. Now, it depends on who's behind it and what they put into it, right? Okay, whether it's the sitcoms, the TV shows, the movies, there's messages there, okay? And it will influence you whether it is very subtle or whether it is blatant. And I think sometimes the subtle is more dangerous because we think, oh, that's not so bad, and so we listen to it, but it affects how we perceive things, okay? Music, right? All those different things affect us and can influence us one way or the other. And so the person that is blessed by God isn't walking in the counsel of the world. What they maybe hear in the media, what they hear from friends, but they're avoiding what they hear. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So, walk in the counsel. Secondly, they don't, what? Stand in the way of sinners. Now, see, there's a progression. First of all, it's the philosophy and thinking. But now, standing in the way of sinner means, now I'm on the same path with them. Before, I was just kind of taking in what they were having to say. But now, I'm on the path with them. Okay? They were just talking about going to the bar. But now, I'm on the path going with them to the bar. Okay? You following me? They're standing in the way of sinners. This pertains to participating in the ways or the behaviors of unbelievers. Instead of following the ways of God, now they are standing in the path of sinners, following their lifestyle. And see, it never usually happens that we just jump into those behaviors. But it begins with, we begin thinking and hearing about people talk at work and they're doing this, they're doing that. We think, oh, you know what? That sounds kind of fun. That sounds kind of interesting. So now we go from where we're thinking about it to now where we are standing with them and participating with them. And there's a third thing, right? The last one is what? Sit in the seat of mockers. What is all that about? Sit in the seat of mockers. It's progression, folks. We go from when we absorb the philosophy and the thinking of the world, it leads to behavior. So remember your parents talking about, be careful what you think about? Because what you think about, you begin to do. And once you begin to participating, it hardens your heart, and now you take the place where you're actually mocking the ways of God. And I've seen that progression happen over and over in the lives of people. I've seen people be influenced by the world around them, whether it's been through music, whether it's been through the movies, social media, by friends that are influencing them. They can begin, all of a sudden, now they're out doing the same activities that they are. And they once had a heart that was soft to God, and all of a sudden, now they have a heart that has become hostile to God, that has become prideful, and they no longer want anything to do with the ways of God. Have you seen that happen in somebody's life? I have. I've seen it happen over and over again. And now, you don't go from this stage to this stage overnight. It's a progression where we begin to listen to the world, participate, and before we know it, all of a sudden, there's that hardness that develops in our heart. You can see it in the people of Israel. God brings them out of Egypt, right? Woo! Right? We're set free. Next thing you know it, they want to... They get out in the wilderness, and God gives them the Ten Commandments, and they said, you know what? We want to be like the rest of the world around us. We can't have a God that we can't see or touch, and so we have to have some kind of image that we can worship. So what did they do? They got all their gold together, right? and made a golden calf so that we could be like the rest of the nations. And they began to drift away, and a lot of them would die in the wilderness because they hardened their hearts towards God. Hebrews talks about that. There's that progression. This verse shows three phases of departure from God. We accept the world's advice, we participate in its ways, and we adopt the attitude that is hostile to God. And a person that is blessed by God is tuned in to the subtleness of the ways of Satan. James says that each man is dragged away and enticed by Satan, right? Right? Sure? Better open up your Bible, James chapter 1. What does it say, Gil? By his own evil desires, each of us is dragged away. Yeah. The devil made me do it. Well, he's out there. He is tempting. But he makes nobody do anything. We're all dragged away by our own evil desires and the own sinfulness within our own hearts. And so, the person that is blessed by God, we're not naive to the ways that Satan works in our lives. We understand. You know, when we understand the tactics of the enemy, we know his game plan, it shouldn't surprise us. We should be on our guard against it, right? And Scripture says to put on the full armor of God, to know God's word. All right? So, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Let's look at what he delights in, or she delights in. But his delight or her delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. So the second point there is the delight of the righteous. What is the delight of the righteous? So the three negatives are followed by a positive. All right? Now my wife's a teacher and she says that you should have three positives to every negative, right? She's not here, but I think that's right. Three positives to every negative. But the righteous person delights in something, and what do they delight in? The what? The law of the Lord. Now, the law of the Lord to the psalmist would have pertained to what? What would he be specifically referring to? Yeah, the Pentateuch, probably the first five books of the Old Testament, okay? And probably some of the prophets and even some of the Psalms. But it would be more the Old Testament scriptures and the law, which would be the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And on that law or the word, he meditates day and night. And so instead of gaining advice from the world, the righteous person seeks out God's advice through his word. Okay? And I would compare the law of the Lord to what we have contained in our Bible, the canon of Scripture. Okay? Old Testament and New Testament, as that is God's word to us. And the person that is blessed by God seeks out what God has to say. In fact, not only do they seek it out, but it is their... it's their delight, right? Now, when you think about delight, what are some things you delight in? Okay? Fudge. Yes. All right. Being honest, that's good. All right? All right. Yeah, you don't have to say, Dave doesn't have to go and say, now, Jill, you have to go over there and have a piece of fudge. He doesn't have to do that, right? Nope. It's kind of like, okay, I've had one or two pieces, and that's probably my quota for the day, right? But when something is our delight, we're not worried about, nobody has to make us do it. We want to spend time with that person or enjoy that food, savor it, right? Because it's our delight. When I was dating my wife, I used this illustration every once in a while, but, young and in love, she was my delight, still is. But, when you're together, you don't worry about the time. You don't worry about other things. You enjoy being with that person because they are your delight. And when the Word of God is our delight, you know, we have the reading plan, and we can easily get caught into where, okay, I got my reading plan here, and I checked it off. I got Mark chapter 1 done for January 1st. And stop at that. Well, what if God is speaking to you and you just, I want to keep reading? Or maybe you just want to meditate on what you've just read. We can easily get caught in that trap where it becomes an obligation, and I've fulfilled my checklist of things to do in my walk with God. And we don't treat our other relationships with that. At least we shouldn't, right? Oh, I touched base with them this week. I fulfilled that obligation, right? We shouldn't do that. It shouldn't be no different with God. And one of the ways we have fellowship with God, there's probably two primary reasons or avenues that we do that. One is prayer, and the other is God's Word. That is how we fellowship with God. And He speaks to us, right? Reveals Himself to us. So the person that is blessed by God, are we going to be influenced by the world around us? I think we would be naive if we would say no. But if we want to walk with God and to walk away that is blessed by Him, God's Word needs to be in our heart more than what we hear out there. God's Word needs to be our desire, our delight. Okay? Am I making sense? And often it can be reversed. We're spending a few minutes in God's Word and how many hours watching TV or listening to music that doesn't glorify God. Okay? If you listen to classical music, you're off the hook probably. But. All right. How are we doing here? Okay. All right. Meditates. Meditates means to... You ready for this? It means to regurgitate. All right, chew your cud. You ever heard that expression, right? A cow chews its cud, right? But it means you're just kind of just pondering and thinking about it. So to read a chapter, like Mark chapter 1, that's in January 1st, and to read that and then to go throughout the day and just have that going through your mind. So if you were to read it in the morning, say, and you go through the rest of the day and you keep thinking, man, I wonder what Jesus was thinking about. What was Jesus meaning when He said this, this, and this? And you begin to think about that and just kind of roll that over in your mind and chew on it for the day. That's what it means to meditate on God's Word. To read it, but also to think about it. And then to take that next step of applying it and think, oh, this is what, you know, you research it and study it. That's what God was saying. Then you begin to take that next step, which means to apply it, right? You can know all the Scripture in the world, but if you don't apply it to your own life and allow it to change you and transform you, then it's done nothing, right? All right. The delight of the righteous. All right, let's go on to the reward of the righteous. So you have the way of the righteous, the delight of the righteous. Let's look at the reward. How many like rewards? Man, I love rewards, right? Like rewards. Well, there's some rewards. He or she will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. He talks about three rewards of the righteous. The first one pertains to provision. Provision. Okay? You'll be like the tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. We know that within any part of the world, you're going to have times where there's more water, less water, times of drought, times of famine, times of plenty. But the tree planted by streams of water is a picture of provision. Okay, in times of drought, they're planted by the streams, so they're still being provided for. And that is a picture for us that God will provide for us, whether it is, you know, the good times, but also in the difficult times that God is going to provide for us. He's going to provide His provision. Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 1 through 6, Israel was going through a time of famine. But God provided for his needs by sending ravens in the morning and evening to bring him bread and meat. And he drank from the brook for 2 years. That's provision. Now, I don't know where those ravens got the meat. You know, I know where ravens get their meat. I think it was a little maybe aged. Hopefully it was more fresher than that, huh? It sustained Elijah. Maybe it was more like jerky, huh? All right. Jack Link's jerky. Maybe he got bread from the king's table. Those ravens did. But they provided for Elijah for 2 years. What's for supper? What's for lunch? jerky and bread and water. It sustained him. But God provided for him. You know what? God will provide for us. I think I've lived long enough to know that there are times of plenty and there's times of where it can be a little skimp. But God has always provided. I don't think I've ever missed a meal because there wasn't food in the cupboard. Been tough times, but God's always provided. Provision. God will provide for us. Second one is, bear its fruit in season. That talks about productivity. Like a fruit tree, a blessed person will produce fruit. John 15, right? Says that if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. So when we are living with God and walking with God, we're walking in His way, our lives are going to be fruitful. Okay? Now, probably all of you are producing fruit. Okay? Now, there's some fruit out there that's good to eat and some of it's not, right? And there's even rotten fruit. Okay? And we can even produce bad fruit. Scripture talks about bad fruit. But the person that walks with God is going to produce good fruit and will be fruitful. And as a believer in Christ, God wants us to be that channel that He flows through, that we can touch the world around us. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Help me out with those. All right. I think we got them there. Did you hear them all? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Right? The fruit of the Spirit. So look at your own life. Do you see those fruit at work in your own life? Do you see love, joy, peace, patience, kindness? If not, then we need to go back and say, why not? Maybe I'm not connected to God as much as I should be. Because if I'm connected to God through prayer and His Word, there's going to be fruit within my life. And God has called us to be fruitful. In fact, God cares so much about fruitfulness that when Jesus was walking and He came to a fig tree that wasn't producing its fruit in season, what did He do? He cursed it and it shriveled up. Came back the next day and it was all shriveled up because it wasn't bearing its fruit in season. And it was a picture to the Pharisees and religious leaders that claimed to know God and be religious, but there was no fruit in their lives. And God just doesn't want us to have this facade of Christianity or religiosity. I think that's a word. He wants to have fruit within our lives, that we bear much fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, that we're bringing people to Christ and that the love of God is shining in our life. All right, let's talk about another one. The third one, the last one is, whatever he does prospers. So prosperity is a reward of the righteous. Now, prosperity, I think many times has been interpreted financial, okay? Johnny Manziel, money, 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 right? Okay? All right. You know, and I think God will provide for us in those ways. But provision talked about that God was going to, when the people of Israel were going to go into the land of Canaan, that God was going to provide for them. God says, I'm going to prosper you. And that idea of prosperity really had to do with that God was going to remove the obstacles that would stand before them. Did God do that for them? Yeah. There was giants there, right? God helped them take care of that, the enemies, and God prospered them. He allowed them to, in a hostile land, God allowed them to move in and to be blessed and to inhabit the land. And prosperity, God wants to bless our lives. Will it be financially? I think so. Health? I think that's a good one, right? He wants to bless our relationships. He wants to bless us spiritually and to prosper us and to do well. Now, the only thing, caution I'd give with that is that sometimes people think, you know what, if I'm serving God, nothing bad's going to happen to me and I'm going to have $1 million in the bank. And if you look at the life of Jesus, we're called to follow in His way and to live a life that He lived. And I believe that God blessed and prospered Christ when He walked on this earth, but it was also accompanied with some suffering along the way and some hardships. And you look at the disciples and the apostles. So, God, the blessed person, there's prosperity. And it's not a matter of luck or social status or good fortune, but it's a result. It's linked to us walking with God. Well, we've talked about the reward of the righteous. Let's talk just briefly about the demise of the wicked. The demise of the wicked. Now, that's probably not in your program, so you have to write that in if you want to catch that. The demise of the wicked. What's going to happen to them? First of all, the picture is of a threshing floor in Israel. And when they didn't have combines back in those days, but what they would do is they'd have a big sickle, okay, that they would cut the grain. They would then pick the grain up, put it in sheaves, okay, big bundles, and they would bring it to the threshing floor. There they would beat the grain, okay? And what that would do is that would knock the kernels free from the stalk. And then they would take a winnowing fork, which would kind of look like a rake, and they would throw it into the pile, you know, shove it in there, toss up the grain into the air in the evening. Evening was a common time to do that because in Israel there would be a breeze at night. And so as they threw that grain up into the air, what would happen? The chaff would blow away, the kernels would fall back down to the ground, and they were left with the kernels. The wicked are like the chaff. Here today and gone tomorrow. There's no substance to their life. And they're blown away. Oh man, they look like they're doing well, and God's blessing them and prospering them. They're here one day and they're gone the next. They're like the chaff. But see, to the righteous, there's some substance to their life. And so they are sustained and they are kept. So the wicked are like the chaff that the wind blows away. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. So the final conclusion is that the Lord will watch over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And I think the thing that we want to be left with is that it is the way that one takes that determines the final outcome of the blessing of God. It is the way one chooses. And it's not just one decision. It's a combination of decisions and choices. That's what makes a way, right? A path. If I'm going to get here to grandma's house, I have to probably take a left here, take a right here. If we take Christopher's directions, you just go by grandma's house and go up the hill, right? Okay? Take a left at the mailbox. A way is determined by the decisions we make along the way. Success or failure on our spiritual journey is tied in one way to our relationship with God. The way one takes finds its origin in one's heart, our thoughts, our motives, our attitudes, our behavior, which ultimately determine the path of the way one takes. I want to close with Proverbs chapter 4, which really echoes what we've just covered. We won't read the whole chapter. We'll start in verse 10. Musicians, if you would come. Chapter 4, verse 10. Solomon says, "Listen, my son, accept what I say. The years of your life will be many. I will guide you in the way." There's that word again, way. Listen to how many times he talks about way. "I'll guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along the straight path," which would be synonymous with way. "When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble." See, God's going to give you favor. "Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it with it well. It is your life. Do not set foot on the path or the way of the wicked, or walk in the way of evil men." See, there's that counsel of the wicked. "Avoid it and do not travel on it." Okay? "Or turn from it or go on your way. For they cannot sleep until they do evil, until they are robbed of their slumber, until they make someone fall. They eat that bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to man's whole body." Did you know that just living your life for God and following His ways will affect your health? It will. Mental health, your physical health. "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth, keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet. Only take ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. And keep your foot from evil." The way that God blesses. Amen? The way that God blesses. You know, as we begin a new year, it's good to say, where am I at on the road of life, my spiritual journey? Where am I at? Am I on the right path? I need to make some course corrections. Am I listening more to the world than I am to God's Word? Maybe we need to make some adjustments. Sometimes those small adjustments make a big difference as the further out you get, don't they? Small adjustments. And so that I just ask you to take some time just to reflect upon what God would be saying to you this morning. I'm going to have Gil and Emily, if you'd join me at the front. And if you have a need or prayer request this morning, we want to lift that up to the Lord. And I know some of you are carrying Michelle. Is having her son head off for active duty, and I know that's weighing heavy on her heart. And some of you have been down that path. And, I know she's encountering. But if you have a need or request, we want to agree with you in prayer this morning. If you have any needs that you want us to just bring before God, we invite you to come forward and let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning, and then we're going to close with that song, "Overwhelmed." All right, Father, this morning we just thank you for your word that is quick, it is powerful, it guides us down the path of life, and Lord, it's not always simple. We are human. We are taught with our own evil desires. We're pulled by the influence of this world. Lord, I pray that you would lead us down the path. Jesus said that there's a path that leads to destruction, and there's a path that leads to life. And the path to destruction is broad and wide, but the path that leads to heaven and to righteousness is narrow, and few find it. And Lord, help us to find that path that leads to you, not only just for your blessing, lives, but that we can have the ultimate blessing, which is eternity with you, and to be in your presence, to spend eternity in heaven. So, Father, this morning, be with us, guide and direct in us. In your name we ask. Hallelujah. Sing this together, and if you have a need, would you come forward this morning? Let me see.